hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
That's the jewels of my, of me. And so a man is proud when he sees his children. Yeah, let me, there's no, in this church, I can speak this and I can say this, but there's nobody prouder than me than my father. My father would take me, if he could put me in his pocket and share me all over the world, he would do it, y'all. And I'm not just me, but my brothers and my sisters, and you know, but I know I'm his favorite, but anyway, he ain't nobody here to dispel that. It's okay. But I thank God for my father. And so as children, we are to respect and honor our fathers because we were brought into this world because of his seed. See, you got to understand, I don't care what your father, he wasn't there in my life, he wasn't there for me, but got to understand, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be here. God used him just to get you here. Oh, come on, y'all. It's because you got to understand that there's little things that we hold on grudges to. I understand he might not have been there. He might have been a deadbeat father. He might not have given anything to you. He might not even share a word to you. He might not even want to have anything to do with you. But the fact that God used him allowed, God was thinking of you. So he said, if he ain't your father, I'll be your father. You got a father. And your father's rich. He got everything. So everything you need. And sometimes him being a father had to be a mother when your mother wasn't there. Good Lord. That's the kind of father that God, our God is. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Oh, I love this one. I love this one. I used to want my son all the time. My youngest one. And my wife would say, no, no, no. That's my job. Let me take care of it. And I used to always get upset because she wouldn't let me take care of it. And we had our falling out. You know how we do it. They get to that size where they finally they can see you eye to eye and they think they got you, boy. I said, woo. But I remember one time my wife whooped my son one time and I felt sorry for the boy. I said, Lord Jesus, okay, he's okay. I think he got the message. Woo. Huh? But it did my heart good. But it's in this scripture, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now, you got to understand, that's not just to beat him. It's to correct him. See, when our children are out of place and out of line, see, today, you're not even allowed to whip your children because they call DHR, whoever, all these other folks. They call them on. But let me tell you something. When I was growing up, my dad whipped our behinds. And Mama Judy could do it worse than Daddy. I'd rather the whooping from Daddy rather than from Mama. But anyway... But that he that spareth the rod hated his son. So if you don't correct your son, how would you like it if somebody knew you were wrong? You got some paper or something on your forehead, and you walking around there speaking to everybody, telling them, hey, and nobody told you that, and you go home and you look in the mirror and say, how long was this up here? I mean, ain't nobody gonna tell me. They just spoke to me, hugged my neck, told me they love me, but they ain't even tell me that it's still sitting on my forehead. You got to understand that because he loves you, he will correct you. And because he corrected us, I knew he loved me. At the time, I didn't think that. I didn't feel like giving up my butt with that belt. I just want him to talk to me. I understand. I have understanding. But when he laid that belt out, that was time for correction. I learned not to lie no more. I lied one time about not getting my report card, and my daddy found out about it. And the next morning, in my sleep, I woke up, and it was something fiery hitting me. And all I heard was, you don't lie in this to in my house, and I said, Lord, he got to spell it all the way up. But I learned. Because, see, lying will send you to hell. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The father must correct his son. If the father doesn't do anything to correct the son, he hates him because he does not care for him nor his soul. Now, he that chastises his son will do it out of love and not hatred. It's the difference between whipping your child, correcting them, and beating them.
Amen.
Correcting is one thing, but abusing them is another.
Amen.
And God never intended for us to be abused.
Amen.
None of us. And because the scripture says that he loveth them that he chastises.
That's right.
My father loved Howard a whole lot more than he loved me. Howard got plenty of them, boy. But he must don't love me as much as he loved Howard, but that's okay. I'll take it. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A father would show love by giving guidance and sure instruction to his children. Come on, y'all. Y'all know, if you're training you up and I teach you, if I teach my children how to do things and how what they're going to need in life, and I give them some instructions, it's going to help them to go along the way. There's nothing worse than being ignorant trying to act like you know what you're doing.
Amen.
On my job, they don't give us training for some of these things that we have to deal with. And some of the components, they'll tell us, here, this is what you got to take care of and make sure the customer knows how to do it. I'm like, well, can you give me some instructions? We don't know how to do it either, so figure it out. So then the customer calls, and I'm on the phone with them. And sometimes I just be straight up. I say, ma'am, sir, I don't know nothing about this. But I think we can figure this out. They say, I don't know nothing about it either. That's all right. We'll work it out. God works it out. So we don't want to leave our children uninstructed.
All right.
I'm talking to the fathers here because we know mama's going to tell it. But the fathers need to be a part of this instruction. They need from a man's point of view, I used to tell my wife, I said, you've never been a man. Let me tell my son how it feels to be a man. When he goes out there and that man calls him outside of his name, he can't swing on him every time he says something to him.
Amen.
When the police officer pull you over, you can't have an attitude every time just because you didn't want to get stopped.
Well,
whether you did it on purpose or you did it on by accident, you still got to respect that law.
Yeah.
And in these days, as a black man, you got to be careful because you might just get shot. I know it's true. The day I got pulled over because of the decal on my truck was expired. I didn't even know it was expired. I get pulled over, one car, two cars, three cars, four cars. I got five police cars coming out of everywhere. The man told me, put your hands on the wheel. As a matter of fact, put both your hands on the wheel and then slowly come out the truck. I said, what is going on? I said, this man tripping. And my wife looked at me. She said, just do what he said. I said, okay.
Man.
I opened the door. As I get pulled out, yes, I was in Alabama, sir. Yes, sir. And they pulled me out, and the man said, I'm a searcher. And he put me on there. And a lady of another persuasion said, thank you for your service, officer. Now, how you think I feel? I want to tell her something because I'm saying, I'm not even guilty of anything. But because of the color of my skin and this black man is putting me behind, checking me out, you're going to tell him thank you for the service. Huh? So these are some of the things that, because my father has taught me, son, it doesn't matter. If you're not guilty, don't worry about it. If you trust in God, let me tell you something. You got to trust God everywhere you go. And that's black or white. It doesn't matter. Because today you might be awake and you're alive and you're going to Walmart. Tomorrow you might be in a coffin. It's just that simple. You got to take every day as the day knowing that you are living for God. It is not about you. It's not your life is not your own. I know we think it is, but we think it is. But it's not about us. It's for God. I was given a chance to go through that situation so God could bring me out so I could tell it about it. This was right after everybody, we've been hearing all those about people getting shot. I had a truck break down one time, and I pulled over, and the state trooper was just coming to help me, but I got nervous. Because even in the chance that where he's just coming to help may turn into something else. You don't know these days. So I just keep trusting God. Lord, watch over me on the dangerous highways. Keep your hands protection on me. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to me. Keep the cops off my back. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And then I say, thank you, Jesus. And I hit the road. This is every time. Because I know now I have to trust my God for everything. He will not stray from the chances to show. This is the Father. He will not stray from the chances to show and explain to his children the necessary things in life to succeed. See, this is what a father does. He's going to train up his child. He's going to teach him some things. He's going to give him some knowledge. He's going to help them to know what to do as he gets older. And as he gets older, not only does tell them, hopefully he is living the life before them so he can be an example to them so they can see what happens in case they were not listening. You're training. Let me share something else. You're training your child. This scripture is very loaded because it's train up a child in the way he should go. Now, you're training your children at all times. Even if you're not speaking, your actions are training your child. You wonder why they're acting crazy when they get to church, when they get to school, and when they're away from you, because they saw you acting crazy when you was not at church. Your sister called, asked you for something, you couldn't give it to her. And said, every time she called here, I'm so sick of her. And you go and all, and the child sitting there looking at you. I don't need no man. I don't need no man. Watch your child. They're watching you. You're training them. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful. This is the true love of a father. Father is going to make sure that they have understanding. Ephesians 6 and 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A father will show love by encouraging his children to do right, but not talk down to them as if they're nothing.
Amen.
Okay. Listen to this. A father will encourage his children. Even when they are messing up, if you instill say, look, I expect more out of you. I understand you were upset, but I expect more out of you than anybody. I don't care what the crowd did. I expect more out of you. This is what you got to explain to your children. Because when you talk to them, and you're just as stupid as they are, you ignorant. That's not going to help the situation. That's why you don't provoke your children. Just because you got the knowledge and they don't, that means they're ignorant. Ignorant just means they don't know. They're unlearned. Teach them. You can't threaten everything into them. You got to teach them. See, a father's going to take time to be patient with them. Break it down. I understand you don't understand 4 + 4 = 8, but you got to understand why. 8, you got it? I got it. 4 + 4 = 12. Okay. Woo, Jesus, help me. Help me. Woo. you got to be patient. I understand. Just as God only wants the best for us and shows us in his word that we are precious and loved, the Father would encourage his children to follow the Lord and learn of his ways. See, that part says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. See, daddy can't just send the children to church. He needs to bring the children to church. The father needs to come to church himself and show them how to worship the Lord, how to honor God, how to live holy. This is part of being a father. How many of y'all saw that movie, John Q? You remember that? Denzel with his handsome self. Ooh. That's the only man that my wife don't even watch movies, but anything that Denzel's in, she'll stop on the dime. And locked in, y'all. As long as ain't no commercials, she's still right there. John Q. The father, his son got sick, and he was denied a chance to be healed. Put on a list. And he was being denied because he didn't have, the father didn't have what he needed as far as insurance and the money. But John Q said, come hell or high water, I'm going to take care of what needs to be done. He got a gun, and he took the hospital hostage, shut it down. He did whatever he had to do to make sure his son got what he needed. Now, I ain't telling nobody to go get no guns. I'm not telling anybody to go. I know I'm telling. I know you was thinking. I'm not telling anybody to use violence for nothing. But let me tell you what a father will do. A father will step up and do whatever he needs to do to make sure his children, his family, has whatever they need. Even if it's difficult. I'm saying this. I had a situation in the church one time, and I was caught off guard because I wasn't used to it. Can I be real with y'all for a little while? And this man said something to me, and he was not meaning in a manly way. It was kind of sexual, and he was calling my house asking to speak to me, and Dad had no idea. And one day, I finally told Dad, I said, Pop, can I talk to you? He said, yeah. I said, the man that keeps calling, he's not calling because he loves me or he's a friend. He's calling because he wants to talk to me, trying to urge me to be with him in a way that's not ungodly. Now, Pastor Johnson has a way of doing things. He didn't get upset. I never saw him go get a gun. All I know is when the phone rang and he called. I never heard that phone ring again from that man. Never saw that man again in my life. This is the pastor that y'all have. This is my father. And you got to understand that men will do anything to protect their wives, their children, their families, their mothers, their fathers, because they are men. A real man is, if he got to die doing it, he going to do it, y'all. I know for a fact, because my wife, she I love her. And sometimes she drives off and she does things, but I try to always protect her. I'm trying to tell her to do stuff. And so one day she was supposed to be coming to the house, and she was a little late, and then it started being a lot late. And I'm like, okay, I know she was on this road. She's supposed to be here. It's only 15, 20, 30 minutes from there, and she wasn't showing up. That's right. You got it. So, brother man, I had to be honest. I went and I got some iron that I carried at the house. And I went and put it in the back of the truck. And I went down the highway looking for my wife. Because I was like, she was like, you ain't had to do it. I said, it ain't about what I had to do. It's if I had to, I was willing to do it. Do you understand that? When it comes to my children, it's the same way. Some little nappy-head ugly boy was trying to date my daughter and when they was in college, and he was smiling and everything. And I liked him at first till I realized he wasn't no good, and he just happened to have the same last name as me. And I told my wife, I said, I hurt that joker. He don't mess with you. He don't know. He don't know. Because a father will stand and do what he has to do. I'm willing to do that. And so John Q was doing the same thing. He just wanted to take care of his son. He wanted to make sure he was provided for and not overlooked. Sometimes you got to go up to the school, make sure that the teachers are not overlooking your child. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes on the job, sometimes the husband, the wife is at the work, but sometimes you got to show up just to let them know, the boss know, he don't run your wife. This is an employee. You don't run her. She's mine. She belongs to me because God put her in my life. Not by ownership. Not by nothing like that. But because God has allowed, put us together as one. Matthew 6 and 32 says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need have need of all these things. This is when Jesus, after he told him, he said, look, y'all looking for clothes and money and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. I'm going to provide it. So let me tell you, a husband will provide the things that he needs to do. Superintendent Johnson, he said, Mother Judy didn't want for nothing. I can attest to it. If she wanted it, whether he fussed about it or whatever, he still got it for her. I told my wife, whatever you need, just let me know. I'll take care of it. That's what we do for our children. That's what we do for our families. For my wife, I do it. God knows what you need. He will provide it. He just wants you to ask, believe, and receive it. Listen to this. He wants you to ask, believe, and receive. If you're going to God, you first got to believe that he's going to do it. Amen. If you don't believe he's going to do it, that means you already doubt it. Don't ask. Ask, believe, and then receive it. How do you receive it? Before you even get in your hands, just start thanking it for it. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. According to your will, God, thank you. Huh? Mark 9:24, coming to the scriptures. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thine unbelief. Y'all know the story. The man had a son with a deaf and dumb spirit. He was on his way to Jesus. He asked, but before he could get to Jesus, he got to the disciples. As he got to the disciples, he asked them, can you cast out this deaf and dumb spirit out of my son? The disciples tried hard, but it didn't work. You got to understand that when you're going to Jesus, you got to make sure you're not stopping for just a quick fix. You're going to get what you need from Jesus. And he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, what's going on? He said, was coming to you with my son, but I stopped by your disciples to heal him and to cast this demon out, but they couldn't do it. And he said, well, how long has he been doing this? This was Jesus asking him. He said, how long has this been going on? He said, since a child. He said, he tried to throw him in the fire, tried to drown him. He does all these things, and he foams at the mouth. And I try. I don't know what to do anymore. But if you can do anything, oh, my God. That's the first thing he said. If you can do anything, can you please help us? He was talking to the right one. So Jesus said, can you believe that this is possible, that anything is possible? The man said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Oh, my God. Can I share this? When a father wants to take care of his children and he wants to take care of his family, sometimes there are situations where they can't do what they want to do. And it's not because they don't want to do. Sometimes they just can't do. And then they feel inadequate. Yes. Yes. And it's a hard thing to tell your children, I can't do it. Yes. Sometimes it takes a move of God to what you need. And in this case, this man needed a move of God. And he says, I believe. But there's a part of me, because of what I just went through, is making me think it may not happen. Yeah. That's another story. Because let me tell you something, saints of God, members of a church, listen to this. You have to be ready at all times to do what God wants you to do. It's scary and it's dangerous. Listen to me. It's dangerous when you are not prepared and ready to do battle against Satan. Amen. If your child or your family member, your friends, need healing and you're praying with them and you don't even believe yourself, do you see what the damage it may cause? Yeah. Now you're setting doubt in an unbeliever. Amen. The one that wants to believe. It starts a chain reaction. Yeah. Why do they even go to that church if they don't even believe? I thought that's the house of power. I thought that's where we could get what we need from God. And then I come here and I can't even get it because they don't believe. Come on, y'all. God has equipped us with so much. He said that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. By his stripes, I am healed. It's the word. The word never changed, and it's true. But if you can't believe it and you don't know it, how can you help it? This man was broken at this place. I came to get some help for my son. I've done all I can, and I stopped by your disciples. And your disciples couldn't do it. If there's anything you can do, you, Jesus, I came to you. Can you do this for me? Jesus said, I can, if you believe. That man said, fix my unbelief then. That I got right here, I believe you because I was coming to you in the first place. That little part of doubt, take that out of me right now. That way I know it will be done. And we know Jesus healed his son. He wanted his son healed so bad that he let it be known that he believed. But if there be any doubt in him, any doubt, it would be taken out so that his son would be healed. Yeah. The father had to get right first. That little bit of doubt that he had. I don't need to have any doubt that God is able to do anything. And if I'm the head, then I need to make sure my light is shining so my children will believe as well. My wife will believe as well. My family will believe as well. The man got his child healed. And Jesus went on. And he healed him, cast out the deaf and dumb spirit. The child lay as if he was dead. The people said he died. He picked him up by his hand and said, come on. They went on with life. But the boy got healed because the father stepped in for the son. Amen. Mark 5:22-23 said, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Amen. Jairus, y'all know the story. Excuse me. Jairus came, and he was one of authority in the synagogue. He humbled himself, come up to Jesus, lay down at his feet, and asked Jesus to heal him, heal his daughter. He didn't worry about his title. All right. He didn't worry about what the people thought about him. Yes. Oh, my God. Amen. He went and sought Jesus to heal his daughter. Yes. He went to find Jesus. He humbled himself by not thinking of his title, acting as if he was worthy to have this miracle done by Jesus. Some of us in the church have just because, and I've seen it, where we're in a position and we feel like we're the only ones entitled to God. And the reason why is that because people have put these men and women on pedestals. And you put them on pedestals and you think the only way you're going to get healed is if that one preacher he's the only one that can lay hands on you. He's the only one. When it could be that child over there, CJ could lay his hands on you and be healed. But you're looking at the title, the position. Jerry said, I ain't worried about my title. I know I'm a ruler in the synagogue. But my child is sick. I need help for her. She's at the point of death. I don't need...